are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at First Love Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes and
I love it, and the words you're saying is so true. We're the church, we're the light of the world. You know, we got to show a city that's been set on the hill. We got to let our light shine so that the world can see it. Amen. But next up, this is one of my favorite times. Can we roll the testimony music, please? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Testimony, hey. I said testimony. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. For real? For real? Y'all ready? Nah. But it's testimony time now. What is testimony time? Testimony time is a time for you to tell the people that the light that God has given you is real and it's shining bright. So tonight, we got the one and only, you know, she got a whole lot of light on her skin. You know, it's a one and only. Sister Imani, come on up, come on up, come on up.
Woo! Testimony say. Testimony say.
Testimony say. Testimony? Ooh, texty money. Yeah, she's single, so. But yes, yes, yes. What's your name? What do you do in the church?
We'll switch sides.
Oh, good, good, good. You know. All right. What's your name? What do you do in the church?
Okay. So, my name's Imani. Hi. I'm with the Film Stars and Management, University of Memphis. So, my testimony today, for those of you that don't know, last week I was in a pretty bad car wreck. I was in my mom's car. If you know, it's a Lexus, not cheap.
Tough.
Yeah.
Someone say tough. Tough.
Yeah, so, you know, coming down the highway, it was raining. Words to the wise, when it's raining, don't drive too fast. So the back of the car, I began to fishtail. There was a wall. I hit the wall. It wasn't fun. But my testimony is, you know, at the beginning of the year, Bishop, he prayed, he prophesied a lot. Like, I think the night of watch night service, he really honed in on, like, you shall not die. And each month he said, you shall not die of this, you shall not die of that. And I think one thing he specifically said was that you will not die in an accident. Wow. You won't die in a car accident. There will be no accidental death. Wow. And there are so many circumstances surrounding, like, getting in a wreck by yourself on the freeway. Like, you know, 18-wheelers are usually coming around where I was. Cars, traffic, all the time. Yeah, the police even said, like, that's Dead Man's Cove right there. Like, you were so lucky that there was nobody passing by when you spun out. And I just want to say that you guys should take the prophecy seriously. Like, everything that he prays over us while we're taking communion, don't take it as a joke. Because you never know what, like, I wasn't expecting to get in a car accident that morning. And I definitely am grateful to God for protecting me, because, like, anything could have happened when it happened. So just take the prophecy seriously. Take the prophecies of Bishop, of Rev, seriously. Don't take anything for granted. And always pray yourself. Like, don't take your own prayers for granted either. Okay.
Wow, 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 wow. You know, Jesus, one of the, I think the only recorded time that he cried in the Bible was when a friend of his, Mary, her brother died. Lazarus died. He was dead. Days has gone past. His body was rotting and it was smelling. They put him in the tomb. They had wrapped him up already, put him in the tomb, rolled the stone. Jesus came and he said that, roll the stone away. And he said, Lazarus, come out. He said, Lazarus, come out. I don't know what place you're supposed to die at this year, but it's not coming true this year. Jesus is saying, Lazarus, come out. Amen. Amen. Next up, we have a testimony from our very own, the handsome brother Hakeem. Come on up here. Yeah. Wow.
say what?
You can sing the testimony.
What's your name? What do you do in the church? And please give us a testimony.
My name is Hakeem McCray. I'm from University of Memphis. And then also... And then also I'm a singing star as well. Nine months ago, I wasn't where I was. For the past 2 years going to college, I used to do all these things, messing around with different people, smoking, drinking, all the above. But then, also my porn addiction I have as well. And it's been 9 months that I've been struggling with this. And last week, I was not here last week. I was at Spring Retreat at a campus outreach at our school. And last week, that retreat actually touched me so much that I learned so much about who God is for my life. And I learned so much about faith. And it was three aspects of faith: believing, knowing, and trusting. And one thing that I got out of it was Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through, for grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing; it is the gift of God." And what I realized from this verse was about that the grace of God saves us through no matter what our mistakes, our sins, our habits, our desires. God loves us still through our mistakes. And what I learned from that retreat was that I wasn't honest with myself. I needed the help that I didn't realize I needed the help of. And I've been dealing with this for not just 9 months, but all my life, that I've been wanting to watch porn, wanting to experience smoking and drinking. But on last week on Sunday, after the retreat, I started praying to myself after we was going to leave. And then my friend came to me. She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I just got finished praying." And then at that day when she told me about, she asked me these questions to pray for. From that day, I rededicated my life to Christ. And I stepped out on faith by trusting God and letting him be the controller of my life and being the front runner of my life. And one thing that I realized that one of my sponsors told me this yesterday was about that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And what I realized is that no matter our mistakes, if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Thank you.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. You know, please, let's get the scripture back up, right? Because Hakeem wasn't here yesterday. But yesterday, this is the exact same verse that Reverend Lizzie used. And it says that, "For by grace are you saved." You didn't deserve it, right? And God gave it to you for free. But the moment you got your salvation was through faith, through believing. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you don't see. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're going through. But in your weakness, God is made strong. Exercise your faith, trust in God, that no matter what you're going through, even though there doesn't seem to be light at the end of the tunnel, there's hope for you. Amen. There's hope. There's hope. It's powerful. Don't give up. Don't give up on God, because he's not giving up on you. Amen. Wow. That's why I love testimony time. And next up, we got our very own Sister Ashley in the building to come and grace us with a song.
is greater because he shed his blood for you. Greater love have no man than this. Oh, that a man should lay down his life for you. Incomprehensible, I cannot tell it all. Oh, to describe your love would be impossible. You are so beautiful to me. It's indisputable, you see. And long before I believed in you, you were thinking of me. God's love is greater. God's love is greater. I cannot tell it all. Oh, to describe your love would be impossible. You are so beautiful to me. It's indisputable, you see. And long before I believed in you, you were thinking of me. God's love is greater than any gift I've ever received. God's love is greater than any words from any man. You're the only one that I can trust. I'm very glad that you came into my life. I found no other lover like this, for God's love is greater.
Song. What a powerful song. Wow. All right. Great, great, great. Wow. Ushers, you guys are on point today. Y'all are on point today. Y'all give him a hand. All right. All right. Hey, it's me again. All right. I'm not preaching today, so you can relax yourself. Don't worry about it. But look, I am here to introduce somebody very, very important to you. Listen, man, listen. You see, there's a verse in the Bible, and I think Chronicles was it. Yes, Second Chronicles, I was right, yeah. Second Chronicles 20:20, right? The Israelites were about to fight somebody, right? And the issue was the army was big, huge. And it was like, how are we going to fight these guys? So the prophet tells them, he says, look, believe in your the Lord your God, so shall you be established. But then the next thing he says is, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to ask you to believe a prophet in the house. Because tonight, this afternoon, I have the opportunity to introduce to you a prophet of God. Somebody who knows the word of God and is here to speak into your life. So ladies and gentlemen, if you want to prosper, you should believe. And if you're as excited as I am, I need you to stand up in this place, please. I need you to stand up on your feet as we welcome Reverend Kojo Lindsay.
Clap. Those who know your name, somebody help me with the mic. They're trusting you. Ashley, where is she? There is no other faithful God. So loving it. Give her the microphone. Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God. So loving. Now jump like young people. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus and give him a loud shout of praise. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. That is why we're here. We don't just visit people's homes that we have no relationship with. We are not here to get crushed. But we're here because we're coming to the lover of our lives, the lover of our souls. Your word says, blessed is the man whom you choose and you cause that man to approach unto you that he may dwell in your house and that he will cause that person to be satisfied with the goodness of your house. Even of your holy temple. May that goodness come to us today. Mighty Holy Spirit, speak through us and to us and to God's perfect will. We rebuke every demon and every foul spirit in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. And please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Can you give somebody a smile? A smile. You know? Now you're talking. All right. Did I hear somebody say, I don't have a smile? All right. Anybody who says that, then I'll take my smile away from you. You don't want that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, anytime that you have an opportunity to hear the word of God, you are blessed. Did you know that? Because the Bible says in Luke chapter 14, verse number 13, I believe. Let's look at Luke chapter 14, verse number 13. Good. And go to verse 14. Good. Verse 15. Now let's read this. When one of them who sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, the bread of the kingdom is the word of God. Amen. Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Bread in the kingdom, right here on earth. He said, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So anybody that you know, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. The word of God is a bread and all that. So we feed. Bible says, so it's called the bread, it's called the milk, it's called the meat. That's the word of God. It feeds. It feeds. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 says, I will give you pastors after my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, the knowledge can come through the milk of the word, or through the bread of the word, through the meat of the word. But whatever it is, which form it comes, God says you are a blessed person anytime you find yourself eating bread in God's kingdom. Amen. Oh, clap for the Lord Jesus. So, whenever you find yourself sitting, hearing preaching, reading the Bible, being exposed to God's personal feeding. Actually, the Bible calls God the mighty breasted one. Wow. The mighty breasted one. It is not surprising that when your mom gives birth to you, the first thing that the Lord fills up, he empties the belly. Baby comes out,
And immediately the breasts get engorged. Interesting, isn't it? There's something we call the letdown reflex. You will read in medical science when you do biology or when you do medical science. That, tell somebody I'll be there. Now, when a baby is born, then suddenly, you know, there's something called lacteals, or whatever, glands in here. Now, once, first of all, the baby cries, it draws a reflex, a letdown, or the baby sucks, or the baby latches on. We call it latching on, latching on. Anytime you latch on, the baby sucks or latches on, there's a letdown reflex. That whatever it is that God put in the breast gushes out, just comes naturally. Anytime you sit in the house of the Lord and you latch on to God, what you have done is you've latched on to God's breast, the mighty breasted one. God immediately sends reflex engorgement, fills the man of God with exactly what you need. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So you are blessed to be eating bread in the kingdom. Because just by your virtue of your positioning, you could have been in bed at school. You could have been reading. After all, that's what a student is supposed to do. Yeah. But you and I know that even when our parents think we're studying, sometimes we are drinking. Sometimes we're gossiping. Pornographizing. Or just chatting, just playing to whatever we're doing. Now, anytime that, for example, you get the opportunity to hear the word of God, don't pass it on. It doesn't matter. I went to school and exams never stopped me from the blessing of eating bread in the kingdom. Now, there's so much wisdom that comes from God, which we don't get from school. What has made my life complete? Bible says we are complete in him. In the book of Colossians, we are complete, you know, in Christ. That which makes your life complete are the intangibles, which you don't go to school. I'm going to school called Wisdom School. I'm going to school called Well Behavior School. You see, Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him. You are complete in Christ. So all these things about how to, you know, behave at work, how to behave in a relationship, how to relate with your parents, how to handle a career, how to talk in public. It's not taught in school. But you see, the Lord has a way of teaching you. Do you know that when you can latch onto the milk of the breast, but you'll be surprised that it will help you to form hair on your head. Milk. Help you to form nails. Milk. The bones will form because of the milk. Same milk is the one that brings muscles. Eyeballs, everything. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because the Word of God has a way of providing to the totality of your existence, helping you in every aspect of your life. You want to talk about studying, there are scriptures in the Bible that will help you. You want to talk about relationship, there is no better place than that. Do you know that the laws of this land were gleaned out of the Bible? Yes, the constitution of the land. Almost the whole world. Because the British constitution was done through the Anglican church using the Bible. And America is a colonial, the colonial masters of America is the British. And British, almost every country. So civilization came through that. The Bible is the best book that you can ever have. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So, that is why studying the Bible gives wisdom. Bible feeds you with knowledge and understanding. See, sometimes when somebody who has studied the Bible and has been a Christian for real speaks, you would think, is this guy an old person? They speak like people with gray hair. That shall be your story. You should be so wise, that when you speak, some of you, as you sit consistently hearing the word of God, you go home, your parents will say, something has changed about you. And you say, oh, it's the bread of the kingdom. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The word of God is a source. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Can you turn the light on this side as well? Thank you. Powerful. Let there be light, and there was light. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before I share what I have, I want to share one point out of this book, Tell Them. How many know that Christianity is a business? Well, I know you won't say yes, because it sounds like we make money out of it. That's not what I mean. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Jesus Christ was lost when he was 12 years old, when he was a teenager, getting to about teenage years. Bible says that they went and they were coming, you know, parents had taken Jesus for some census or of a kind. And they were coming home. Jesus got lost. They looked for him. 3 days they could not find him. Finally, they went to the temple and they found him sitting down and listening to teaching from the rabbis, the teachers. You know, eating bread in the kingdom. Then the parents say, what is this that you have caused us to suffer? Do you know we've been looking for you for 3 days? And Jesus asked them, give me New King James or something. And Jesus said to them, how is it that you sought me? Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Now, King James, the original says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Clap for the Lord Jesus. So, two things Jesus said. That, Mama, if you want to find me, look for me in the presence of God. I am with God. God, I'm in the presence of God. I pray that your life will be such that every day will be the presence of God for you. Your protection, your provision. God will touch you, heal you, teach you, guide you, provide for you in his presence. All right, I said, no, don't search for me. 3 days, Jesus Christ was okay because he was in the presence of God. Yeah. It makes provision. Then he said, what was I doing there? I was there because I must be about my Father's business. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a business of Christ that every Christian must get involved with. I said in the first service that the Waltons, those whose companies, Walmart, Sam's Club. What are the other companies that they own? No, Costco is not. But they have businesses in the whole North America and the world. Very expansive. Now, they are the wealthiest family in the whole world. Did you know that? I'm not. The wealthiest man is Jeff Bezos. That's Amazon. Now, he's not going to be the world's richest anymore very soon because he's divorced. He's just divorced. The wife is taking half. So the wife is now projected to be the richest woman in the whole world. You know, yes. The wife is going to be the richest. Are you okay? You all right? Okay, you coming back. Oh, okay, okay. Wonderful. The wife is supposed to be the richest woman. So Oprah will not match up with her. Yeah. So she's going to be the wise, richest woman in the whole world. Never divorce so that you'll be rich. It's foolish. But it wasn't the wife's fault. It was the guy's fault. You know. Women hate women. Why? I mean, a man is there, nice man with a nice wife, and you come and interfere. Look at that. Oh, no. Never, listen, get your own husband. Don't never be a second husband to anybody. Yeah. If you see a guy, listen, Any of you ladies, if you are relating with a guy who happens to have another girl, a side chick,
words of wisdom.
Believe me, it's going to get worse when you marry that person. Never marry such a person. You should never be a dessert for somebody. Never. 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 You are far better than that. And guys, be content with one. There's enough in one. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, I must be about my Father's business. How many are children of God here? Children of God. Now, when Jesus says that I'm my Father, that's your Father. Jesus' Father is your Father. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Bible says Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren or many sisters, many siblings. So we are siblings of Christ. So Jesus' Father is our Father, God Almighty. And when Jesus said he must be about his Father's business, we must be like the Waltons. It's a family business, and they are the wealthiest family. They make profits. Everybody is involved in the business. Once you are a Walton, you may be a physician, you may be an engineer, but your engineering must profit the Waltons' business. Family business. That's how they are. You may even be doing hairdressing, but you do it in Walmart. Wow. You may be a pharmacist, but you're employed in Walmart. You'll be a manager of the pharmacy department. They've all pitched in. That is how the family became the wealthiest family. Now, the profit they make is in dollars, but in Jesus' Father's kingdom, the profit is souls. Wow. Clap for the Lord, yes, souls. Human beings. The church should be richest, should have a greater population than the world has. Wow. Yeah. The world so far, Satan's children are wealthier in souls than God's children. Did you know that? There are more people who are not believers than are believers. If we all will pitch into the family business, we in the world, we will be called the richest, the most productive, like the Waltons, the richest family. Christians must become richest in terms of numbers when it comes to souls and people who are believers. There should be more people in the church than in the world. It's true. It's true. But you know, it's not like that. Because we are not all getting involved in the Father's business of winning souls, of drawing people to God, of drawing people to Christ. So the church is poor in souls. Jesus never wanted it that way. He did everything possible to set the business up, including dying for you and I. But when he left, Christians took on the blessings of his death and resurrection, but they did not take on the responsibility of furthering the family business. He was so committed to the Father and his business, he was prepared to die for the sake of the family business. Jesus, not only was he prepared, but he died. But we, Christ rose from the grave to show that he's finished the Father's business. But we cannot get up from our bed to go to church or to go out there and to win souls. Christians. He left heaven where the streets are gold, served with angels, came to the earth where there were unbelievers, people that were dangerous enough to kill him. But he still said, I'll go. I'll leave the comfort of my heaven because for the sake of the Father's business and win souls. He did it for you. But Christians, we're so selfish. What we do is that, Jesus, you've died, right? Cool. Because of your death, the church is formed, right? No problem. The Father has built churches, right? We will enjoy the church and let the unbelievers languish in the earth and go to hell. In fact, we are saying, you can go to hell. Literally. They can go to hell. not as an expression, but that's what we mean when we refuse to speak to people about Christ and draw them in to the church. We're saying you can go to hell. The world sits down going to hell. The church sits in enjoying our role waiting for heaven. So ladies and gentlemen, what I've decided to do, this is not the message for today, but I'm going to remind all of us young people every day we meet, I'll give you one reason why you must be a soul winner. Is it a good idea? Clap for the Lord Jesus. I'll give you a good reason why you must get involved in the Father's business. If he is your father, if you're serious that God is your father, then get involved in the Father's business. And it's not difficult. Somebody spoke to you about Christ. That's how you became a Christian. Perhaps your parents, perhaps your friends. Do this. All you need to do is pass it on. When we're running baton changes, I mean relay races, if you take the relay baton and then you just run, and then when you get, say, I've won, I'm okay, and you walked off, you don't pass it on, you cause all of us to fail. You make the effort the initial group made useless. Somebody ran and was winning and gave it to you, ran your course. You didn't finish running, and they say, look, I'm hungry. I'm feeling sleepy. Yeah, you know, I need to go to the bathroom. So, you know, you drop the button somewhere, and then you visit the... What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Come on. Can't you be inconvenienced a little for the sake of the general good? That's selfishness. So from today, make it your business. Make it a lifestyle that I must be. Jesus Christ made it a lifestyle. Even when it was inconvenient, my parents are not there. I don't know where they are, but I will still be about the Father's business to seek and to save that which was lost. That is why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I do this. Do you know that I'm not a priest by calling? I've not gone to any Bible school. I went to college like you. I have a doctorate like you. Or you don't? Say, I shall be there. I shall be there. I'll be there. I did organic chemistry and struggled like you're struggling with organic chemistry. I struggled with mathematics like you did, algebra, calculus, limits. And I finished school and I got a job. And I'm still working in the healthcare sector. But I am about my Father's business. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I have made time. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I speak to people in my clinic about Christ. Many of the church members you see, I spoke to them while they were in the clinic. Sometimes in an Uber, somewhere, or plane, or wherever. Under the tree. The grocery shop. I don't go there often these days since I got married. Somebody knows how to buy better things than I. That, not that I don't want to. She's just too good. Don't tell her I said that. Look, Kiana, why are you doubting what I'm saying? I saw the doubt in your face. And don't tell Lady Pastor when she comes that I said that. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble with me. Okay? All right. Yeah. Special Talia. And Kenosha. And Cherise, my favorite. Oh, no. She doesn't believe it. Cherise. It's like ma chérie. Do you know in French, ma chérie, what does that mean? What that mean? Yes, ma chérie. It's like my love, ma chérie. Yeah. Yes. Now listen carefully. So this is the deal. This is the deal. When All of us must be about our Father's business. Make it a lifestyle and do it everywhere you go. Speak to somebody about Christ. Invite somebody to church. In fact, next week, make it an effort that as you come, you're going to be coming with somebody. Don't come alone. The same way you invited, invite somebody. Okay? Get somebody. I'm serious. Pass on the baton. Don't keep it to yourself. Jesus is not a secret to be kept. Speak it out. It may be difficult, but no. Speak it out. If you cannot speak, just invite the person. We will talk to the person for you. But be about the Father's business and see your life get richer, more blessed, more beautiful, an upgrade of who you are. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, your Christianity will not become profitable. The first reason, and I'll give you one reason. First reason is because it's a great commission. The great commission. I'll give you just one. The great commission. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power or authority, King James, has been given to me in heaven and on earth, King James. And verse 29, all power is given to me. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Let me tell you, the Christians who can say that God is with me are the people that are in the family business. It says, when you do that, God will be with you all the time, always. Listen, this is real. Since I started getting about the Father's business, winning souls, bringing people to the Lord, talking about Christ, I have felt the presence of God in several ways. In my finances, in my relationship, not relationships, in my marriage, in my academic work, in my parenting, in my children, in my health, in my dreams. You won't believe it. Sometimes, difficult situations, I sleep and ideas come to me. Exactly the solution that I need for that difficult problem. Clap for the Lord Jesus. God shall be with you. This is how it is when you are profitable to the CEO of your company. When you are very resourceful, very active, you bring a lot of profit. You are always on the business, on the CEO's mind. When there's some benefits or bonus or a trip to help, it is you they will think about. And when they feel you are uncomfortable, the business is also uncomfortable. They will do everything possible to keep you. It shall be your story in Jesus' name. That's for profitable servants. And so I've decided to be profitable. My life will produce souls after souls after souls. Amen. For the kingdom of God. None of the Waltons is ever poor. They will never be poor in their lives. Even the one that is not yet born, they know will be connected to the business. They already have millions. Just the thought that I will be a soul winner has God's presence comes to you. Anybody who's now started thinking, me, I'm going to be a soul winner. The presence of God has come to you already. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It shall come. You watch it. Very soon, the differences will show. When you finish school, sometimes my colleagues are surprised at the kind of job I got because they got all the best schools. I never went to an Ivy League school, but they did. They can't compare job for job with me. They can't. Even the benefits and things, they can't by the grace of God. And the peace of mind. When you come and I'm relating with my boss, you would think that is my twin brother. Some of you who've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Sister Lisa, are you there? Sometimes she's coming to ask me a question, a question about a patient. And she's standing there, we're chatting. We're teasing each other. We're jumping around and joking. She doesn't know what to do. I mean, one time we extended it so much, I realized she was uncomfortable. She just backed off and snuck into the door. She couldn't handle it. Yeah, she couldn't handle it. Am I telling, is it correct or wrong? It's a blessing. That's what happens to you when you are about the Father's business. Please, let's be soul winners. Next week, don't come alone. Come with souls. It can be 3, 4. Like Talia has a car. Fills the car before she comes. Every time she has been here. May the Lord bless you. That's how I found my favorite friend, Cherise. Finally, I got it right. You know, but Kenosha decided to be closer so that it's working. Amen. No, but the truth is that it's a blessing. Kiana, like through Kiana, Brittany came to be here. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And I think through Brianna, Spider-Man came around. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Someone say Spider-Man. And through Brother Daniel, Brother Kwame, we have Brother Dennis here, Sister Kiana here. I mean, give me some other names. J.D. Wendy. Eva Maria. Darius. Mr. Cox. They are here. Now, through Brother Junior and Brother Josiah, several, including Hakim, you affirm is populating, is one because of the activities of the, wherever you are, whichever college you are, may your handwriting be seen that once you were in this college and because of you, some college students came to Christ. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Next week begins your transformation into importance and profitability in the kingdom, being about your Father's business. Tell somebody, watch my business strategy next week in Jesus' name. Tell the person how many souls you will bring to the kingdom. Tell the person how many, at least how many you will try to bring to the kingdom. Spider-Man, you can fly, so it will even be more. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for a few minutes, I want to share with you, continue and perhaps complete what we started on how to avoid curses. How to be delivered from curses. How to neutralize curses. Okay. We've spoken about it for 3 weeks. Today may be the last. I think I'll be able to complete so I can start something new with you. Next Sunday, God willing. Today, I want to talk about, I don't know which of them I can start reading. Genesis chapter 3. I don't know whether to talk about the curse of Adam or the curse of Eve. Which one would you like? You like Eve? How many want us to talk about the curse of Eve? Okay, how many want us to talk about the curse of Adam? Okay, I'll start with Eve, and if we can, then I'll talk about Adam. But let me read about it. Now, Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. Now, generally speaking, a curse is an unfortunate cloud that follows you everywhere you go. That brings misfortune, pain, sorrow, evil. I mean, bad things generally happen to you if you are under a curse. It's like an enchantment that cannot be broken off. I mean, everywhere you go, it just happens. Like there are some people that they always, relationships never work for them. I mean, and friends, always your friends end up hating you. Say, God forbid. There are some families that they never get married. I mean, they can live with people, have children, the person will never marry them. Never. Until they die. They will change. Another person will come still. Let me be with you. Let me be with you. They will enjoy everything, including your money, but will never marry you. There's a family like that. There are families like that. It's a curse. Sometimes a curse. Sometimes it's just foolishness, but it will never happen to you in Jesus' name. There are families that they are there. They never have children. They are all barren. There are families that it's just a matter of time. They get stroke, every one of them, while they're young. Cancer runs in the family. Depression. Their families, they all commit suicide at one point or another. Say, God forbid. Yeah. Their families, they always fail in exams. There are people that they never finish school. Every member, they will start. Even if it's left to the final exam, they won't write. They never finish. Something happens and they don't finish. But you will finish in Jesus' name. That's a curse. That's how a curse operates. It's like a cloud that follows you. You relocate, it's there. You move, it's there. You change partners, it's there. You change schools, it's there. I mean, you bleach yourself, it's still there. Suntan, it's still there. All right? Now, it's like a cloud or your shadow everywhere. When you sleep, it's there. When you marry this person, it's there. When you are with this person, it just follows you like that. But you see, you don't have to be in a curse. So I'm going to teach you that some of the things that you can do to avoid it and how to detect it and deal with it. And I've been talking to you about how to avoid how the causes of it, how you can deal with them. And we showed you the scriptures. You know, like one of the things that in my personal life, it was like that. Yeah, in my family, there were people who died before 40. All the males, they died before 40. They never went to college. If you are a male, you can't go to college. You will die before 40. You can't travel. You will get, something will happen. There was a fourth one. I always forget the fourth one. Yeah. And I was afraid as I was growing up. They kept telling me and pointing to people who never got to 40. People who, and I was about to, I've written exams to go to college. Ah, that's the sign that you're about to die. I started entering my dreams. I started feeling death in my dream. I wake up with a nightmare, sweating and running and panting. My heart beating fast. I was full of fear and depression until Christ found me. Wow. I went, somebody took me to church. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I started getting these teachings. And one of my shepherds gave me a scripture. Oh, I read Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Bible says that over there, that Christ has redeemed, paid for it, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Because it is written that curse is every man that hangs on a tree. Therefore, every curse that is on my life, Christ has it. Christ has paid for it. Christ has neutralized by the blood and by the cross. I believed it. And then he said in verse 14, that rather, so that all this is done, Christ went on the cross, so that the blessings of Abraham might come on me, on the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit of God through faith. Ladies and gentlemen, when you come in Christ, one of the things you should not have is ignorance. Jesus Christ cried twice in the Bible. You said once, it's twice. Once was when Lazarus, Jesus's Mary's brother, died, and Jesus wept. The second is he cried about the ignorance of the Jews. He cried. I think it's in, is it Luke chapter 23? Is that or something? Matthew chapter 23, find it. And Bible says, oh, if only you knew what belongs to your peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. You are ignorant. And he cried. Jesus cried. Hidden from your peace. Look at it and then go up. You'll see it. Twice. Cried for death, about death of, and he resurrected it. He cried about ignorance, and he will resurrect you, take you from ignorance to knowledge in Jesus' name. You're taking too long to find it. Peter, don't sit down. Check your phone as well. Amen. Now, so what I'm trying to tell you is that you will realize that when Jesus laments about ignorance, the Bible says, because of lack of knowledge, my people perish. So because now when I got to know that every curse can be erased because Christ has redeemed me, the person told me, I should pray with this every day. I quoted that scripture. I prayed that scripture. I confessed it. I took it up as my own. Listen, I told myself, whatever is happening in this family, I didn't make this family. I was born into this family, but I'm not a part of this family. What if the fathers have eaten sour grapes? My teeth will not be set on edge. I am going to be different. I'm going to walk out of this curse. I'm going to walk in a blessing. I started praying, confessing. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to the glory of God that none of those curses came my way by the grace of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I finished college. I was able to travel. I've gone past 40. I know you think I'm 23. I always confuse you by the grace of God. I know, but you know, it's not my fault. It's the blessing of the Lord by the grace of God. You shall be young too, even though your hair is not nice as mine. Amen. Now, listen, it's just a joke. Now, so I want you to know that Jesus did something for you. Your Christianity must count in your life. Your Christianity must matter to you. That's why when you rise up in the morning and all you think about is social media and your textbook, you do not know what belongs to your peace. And that's why Jesus lamented. And they are still not bringing it up. Jesus lamented. Oh, if only he knew what belongs to your peace. So now I know what it is. And I used it. I'm still using it. And I want you all to speak this into your life every day, that Lord will neutralize every curse in your life and in the life of your family. I say to the glory of God that not only myself, but every member, I'm the firstborn among my siblings. All my little siblings have also gone to school, gone through college, gone past 40, and they are alive and well and blessed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Christ has redeemed you from every curse. Never associate yourself with your family if there is a bad thing in the family. Whatever bad thing you see in your family, tell yourself, I'm not going to be like this. They don't go to school, you go to school. They don't marry, say, I'm going to get married and I'm going to enjoy my marriage. You'll be married for 30 years and your husband will still be massaging you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Will still be swinging flowers in your face and sending flowers. And when you see the bouquet of flowers, you ask. You call your husband, why? It's not my birthday. It's not Valentine. It's not our anniversary. It is not any special occasion. Then your spouse, husband or wife, will tell you, don't worry. It's not about celebration. I am not an occasions guy. I'm just spontaneously in love with you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. It will happen to you in Jesus' name. First love marriages are first class marriages. Yeah. You stick around until you marry. I will counsel you and your honeymoon will be beautiful in Jesus' name. So we're talking about the curses of Adam and Eve. Original curses. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle, New King James, than the beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you should not eat of every fruit tree of the garden? See how the devil makes you disobey God and brings a curse on you. Then verse 2, the Bible says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. God didn't even say don't touch it. He said don't eat it. See how people exaggerate. Then verse 4, The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Don't mind God. Don't mind God. Don't mind the scripture. Come on, continue shacking. Come on, continue fornicating. Come on, go for the drugs. It will not. Yeah, some people die, but you will not die. You'll be all right. Be all right. Ah, how should you stop this nice pornography? That's so sweet. They say you shouldn't marry. You are not at the stage of marriage or sex. Now you are trying to learn, you know, enjoy a thing a little bit. Virtual. This is virtual marriage. And you want to take that from me. Oh, you won't die. If I was supposed to die, I would have died long ago. For God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. See how the devil speaks. Tries to convince you that it's all right. Disobey. Lie. It's all right. Commit abortion. It's all right. Steal. It's all right. Disrespect your parents. It's all right. Don't go to church. It's all right. Don't mind these people. Ooh. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave her husband with her, and the husband without question also ate. Some men are too lightweight. Not deep. Some men, but you are deep men in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7. Amen. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Then verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Verse 10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Verse 12. Then the man said, that woman, look at the way you're speaking about your lover, but your wife, about your sweetheart, that woman. As if she doesn't have a name. That woman. When there's trouble, this is how men speak. The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Then verse 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? Then the woman said, no, it's not me, it's the serpent. Adam said, it's not me, it's the woman. Woman said, it's not me, it's the serpent. See how we shift blame. Which deceived me and I ate. And the devil, he doesn't care. He's garbage anyway. Drop it. Now this is what we do. We always shift the blame and devil says, aha. Let me tell you something about blame shifting. When something happens, don't shift the blame. Ask yourself, what did I do wrong to make this happen? And what can I do to make it better? He said, write it down. What can I do to make it better? Let me tell you why you should do that. Anytime you keep saying it's not me, it's somebody else, it takes the power to resolve it from you. And you will never change anything. So long as you say it's not me, it's me. Okay, even if it's me, okay, I'll try and do something. It's only temporary. It gives you power to do something about it. When the grades are not going well, don't blame the lecturer. Blame yourself so that you will stop foolishness and study. So that you chill out from the pornography so that you can sleep. Don't blame any. The lecturers have produced people with A pluses. How come you are giving C minus? It's not the lecturer. It is us. No, it doesn't matter. Even if the lecturer is terrible, if you can take responsibility and say, look, it means I have to step up my study, you will still do well. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So don't blame it on people. If Adam had acknowledged, I didn't do right, we would not be in this situation. If somebody had they didn't take the blame, they pushed it to the devil. Now look at what happened because of that. Verse 14. So because of that the Lord said to the serpent, you didn't deny it. I'm garbage anyway. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall walk and you'll eat dust all the days of your life. No problem. Verse 15, listen. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Verse 16. Now, here's the curse of Eve. To Eve, the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain and in grief and sorrow, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's tough. Then verse 17, we'll come to 16. And to Adam he said, because you have heeded to the voice of your wife, those of you who just listen to people. I think we talked about it last week. So then we've done the curse of Adam. Yeah, actually, that's what it means. We explain how this curse takes place. Because you listen to people. Oh, then we should go to Eve. Then today we'll do the other one. Good, good, good. Then let's... Okay, but let me finish reading 17. And Adam to Adam he said, because you have heeded to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Verse 18. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Now, that is why you realize that everything we do, it's tiredness, sweat, and all that. Listen, the trick here to overcome this kind of curse for guys, and all of you, try and not see a job as a problem. Clap for the Lord Jesus. No. If you can see this way, this curse will over. You deal with it with wisdom. See work as a blessing, not a curse. I'll say it again. See, I am working tomorrow morning till Friday, till Thursday. When I get into the job, I go with a good attitude, chest out. I'm ready. What is there to do? Bring it on. As I'm preaching with the right attitude. Bring it on. Whatever I'm doing, I try to enjoy it no matter how hectic. I don't want to see it as thorns and thistles that bring pain and sorrow. Many of us, when we go to work, we grumble, we complain, we gossip about the boss, about the supervisor, about the amount of work. When will you be happy? Meanwhile, that's how you're supposed to eat. That's how work becomes a curse. School can become a curse if you don't have the right attitude towards. Some of you, when you're reading, it's like they are putting quinine. Do you know quinine? Quinine, sometimes they call it. Or whatever it is that's bitter. It's being shoved down your throat. You hate the books. Somebody has told me, I hate organic chemistry with my gut. Then I said, then take your gut out. Because you will have to deal with it. I found organic chemistry that way. I told myself, I'm going to overcome this. Carl, stop sleeping. I said I will overcome this. I'm telling you. I took myself to the library in the break. I said, you chemistry, organic or whatever your name is, you will die this mid-semester break. Okay. By the time I enter the next semester, I will resurrect. You will die. I'm telling you, I wrote through the book. I studied it with joy. I overcame, did questions ahead of the class. When I arrived, even the lecturer could not handle my questions. Wow. It stopped becoming a curse to me. Marriage, I have a good attitude to the things that I do, even to the preaching. Because, I mean, even to you, the way some of you react when I'm preaching, I still have a good attitude. I will preach it nicely. The faces. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Many things that become a curse is because of your response or reaction to it. School can become a joy. I miss school sometimes, sincerely. I miss studying because I caused myself to enjoy studying it. That's why I finished school. I was a physician, paid, doing it. I did residency in addition. I did internal medicine and became a specialist in internal medicine. I said, I'll do more. I did gastroenterology as well, subspecialty.
Wow.
Now, I've studied with a good attitude. Now, it's doctors who consult me. See, because of that, I don't have to work three jobs. I have to work one job. In fact, not as many hours. Because I did. When do you want to get tired? As young or as old? Choose. You will be tired by all means. Because this curse is a normal thing. But learn to take your tiredness now so that you can earn later. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Get tired at school. Stop sleeping. Stop playing the fool. The Bible says a young man should bear the yoke in his youth. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. For the Lord will not afflict you forever. You will not be tired all the time. But bear the yoke in your youth. In Lamentations chapter 3, I believe it's 23 or 27. Bear the yoke in your youth. Yeah. And so it is good for you to bear the yoke in your youth. Verse 28 says, for let him sit alone and keep quiet. Don't complain. Because God has laid it on him. And verse 29 says, let him put his mouth in the dust that there may be hope. That means there will be a future. Listen, you can eradicate this curse by your good attitude towards work. I'm a man. I work. God brought me to work and to have a good attitude. Everything. Look, when I get there, I don't even look at the board. How many patients? I just start. Until it has finished, I'm not stopping. When it finishes, I can rest. By the grace of God, when I sleep, all my energy will come back. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's the curse of Adam. The curse of Eve. Good attitude towards your studies. Please, guys, don't say any subject is boring. Don't say anything, any teacher is terrible. Don't say any textbook is bad. Don't say, no. Take it up yourself and say, what can I do to resolve this? One time, many people who divorce, I said, look, don't say that how terrible this lady is. But say, what did I do to make this happen? And what can I do to make it better? Now, the curse of Eve, verse 16. The woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's a curse right there. Look, number one, I will greatly multiply your sorrow. Women, young ladies are the most depressed many times. Small things bother you. Little things get you into depression. You cry easily. You cry easily. Listen, I'm telling you, ladies, change. This is something that is generally true for women, but you are not a general woman. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You are a special woman. You are a special woman. You don't have to be like every other woman. You don't have to be negative and all. Why me? Why me? No, that's not your portion. That's not your portion. Statistics show that most women get into depression several times before. It's 87%. More than men. Why? Everything you take is so deep. Women are too sensitive over little things. Little things. They are always quarreling. Listen. No, I'm serious. Listen, ladies, I'm saying this not to damn you. I'm saying this to help you. Listen carefully. Look, if you see, one of the things that you should know about medicine, when you can know this is what is wrong with me as a sickness, that's when you can take the medication. Statistics have shown it. I'm not saying anything that is different, but generally speaking, we're very sensitive, very emotional. Things hurt us easily. Tell yourself, I will not be the general trend of women. I will not operate under this curse. I will be different in the name of Jesus. I will not let things bother me. I will ride on the tide of Christ in us is the hope of glory. I'll be a beautiful woman. I'll be a strong woman. I'll be a virtuous woman with the right attitude towards life. I will not be downtrodden. I'll not see anything as negative. That's greatly multiplied this. Number two, end thy conception. Listen, even though you are not married, some of you are already thinking about family. It's too early. Look, if a woman cannot marry or cannot have a child, it's a problem. That's why there's gynecology, there's no manicology. Women diseases to give them children. They trouble about, I want my child. Yesterday I was counseling a couple. The woman said, well, you know, I like the way he is. This is my fiance is, because I think that he'll be a good man for my children. I said, hey, girl. Are you going to make the children by yourself? Unless you have 46 chromosomes to share. So I told the lady, don't speak that way. Listen. The problems of ladies is oversensitivity and emotionalism, one. Overcare about children and family. Listen, God is the one who will give you children. Don't worry about it. It will come. Yeah. And I like this one. And it says that their desire shall be for their husband. Women talk about guys far more than guys talk about girls. Almost their desire shall be for their husbands. They will like men. Women like men, like I tell you. You know, when we say we don't, men like relating, but ladies take relationships very deeply. They are very committed to every relationship. It's a good thing, but you can overdo every good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, because of that, when a guy says, I'm no longer with you, women can become suicidal.
That's true. Actually, that's true.
They will stop studying.
Yeah, that's true.
They will go depressed. Look, when they lose, a guy says, "We, you and I won't work," the woman becomes, your whole life starts going down. Suicide. Contemplation of suicide. They will stay in the room. They will not take a shower. They will not eat. They will not talk. They will not do. Ladies and gentlemen, girls, guys are not that important. They are not as important as they make you think. It's a curse. Do not operate under that curse. It's a curse. And by the way, that guy is not the only guy. If a guy says, I don't want you, it's not worth pursuing. Even guys who want you, it's hard to keep. That guy is not worth. Listen, if a guy, you say your desire shall be for the man, that guy is not worth that heartbreak. Don't break your heart for a broken relationship. The relationship is broken again. Keep your heart for the next relationship. I think it's a good thing to write down. Don't break your heart for a broken relationship. Keep your heart intact for the next relationship. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, you are cursed. The guy is gone. Let him go. Let him go. Come on, go on. There are better guys for you. Stick around. I'll give you one of the best husbands when it's time. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You just keep around and keep bringing souls like that. Among the souls that come, one of them, God will take care of him and make him a good, kind, meek, great guy for you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Stop worrying and worry about your academic work. Worry about your career. And stop worrying about that foolish boy. If he respected you, he would have treated you better. He doesn't deserve that heartbreak. Actually, you are too sophisticated for that foolish boy. But girls like boys far more than boys like girls. It's the truth. Boys are all over the place. They don't even have a deep relationship with you. They don't have what it takes. I'm telling you, unless a guy is ready, listen, unless a guy is ready to marry, they don't have the heart to keep a relationship. No guy, no young person. Yeah. They have what it takes to have sex, but not to keep you. Ladies and gentlemen, if I was you, I would not operate this thing. I would not go near this desire. I would not let anybody steal my heart and set the curse rolling early in my life. I have better things to think about. And your heart desire shall be for your husband. It's not worth it. Don't break your heart. Don't go into suicide. Stop thinking about that foolish boy. How many have had broken hearts before? Oh, dear. Almost everybody. May the Lord mend your heart. May you keep that heart from being broken again until you're married. The best way to keep it is wait till you're married and let the person show commitment. I mean, a person who all the guy needs is some words and then he's on top of you. Why wouldn't he walk out the same way? Anything that is fast to get is fast to give away. All that the guy needed was a few words. Can't you see that you sold yourself cheap? That's why it's a curse. Listen, when you see this thing, the curse is coming. Run, girl. Run. Run. Until that guy has something better, like jobs, finance, like commitment. Like, you know, before Adam, Eve was brought to Adam. Adam had a job. Adam had a relationship with God. Adam has a home. This boy has none of these three. That's why he broke your heart.
He was A1.
Last point. And that husband shall rule over you. Sometimes they have nothing. You have it all. But they still rule you. They tell you what to do. Is it not a curse? They are not even as smart as you academically. GPA, you are higher. Finances, you are higher. I mean, status, you are higher. And still they are ruling. Please. Please. They are not worth it. I don't know what to say. I have a lot to say, but time doesn't have a lot to give me. Next week, God willing, we will continue. Put your hands together, rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Mercy. Put your hand on your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Something great will happen to you. God is taking the curse away. God is giving you wisdom keys to avert the curses that come. Oh, Eve of a daughter, may the curse of Eve not affect you because of the word of God. Thank you, Jesus.
We believe the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Be blessed.